something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
In this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a
green? There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, I'm mother.
Good grief. What kind of show is this? My soul listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole. And this is
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
And Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Yes, it's...
And speaking of humps, Angela Yee is back.
Yes, I'm back from vacation.
Young Yee Cakes.
I was in Jamaica. I was in Ocho Rios for a few days.
Oh, we saw you.
Had a nice vacation.
We saw you.
I heard y'all was in here acting up.
Nah, not too much.
You've been irregular.
How was your vacation?
It was good. Now it's back, ready to work. Actually, I have to go to a funeral today.
Jesus Christ.
Damn it, man.
I know. But my mom's uncle passed away. So, you know how certain things happen, like he was 97 years old.
Oh, okay.
Every single day after work, she had to go and check on him because he's been sick for a while, so he's been in the hospital all this time. So it was like every day for the past couple of years.
Okay, so he's in a better place now.
Yeah, he lived a long life.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. 97 years old, so I have to attend that and see family.
I can't stand when somebody older dies and then people try to say cliche things to make you feel better, like, hey, the good die young. He was 97. Yes, he lived a nice, long, full life.
Absolutely. Last night I went to go see Made in Tokyo and Big Sean. Big Sean, his show came to New York City.
I saw Gia posting that it was date night with the kids.
Yeah, date night with the kids and daddy. So I had to take I took Madison and her friend, and it was a good show. You know, shout to Big Sean. You never, I can say I forgot how many hits Big Sean has. Like he rocked for an hour and 40 minutes just smashes after smashes after smashes.
He could do a greatest hits album.
He has four albums out, four, five albums with the album with Jhené Aiko. He brought out Jhené Aiko. It was just a dope show, a lot of energy.
I keep telling y'all, Big Sean is the really dopest rapper out right now at this moment. Not all of that could change tomorrow when Kendrick drops, but I'm talking about right now at this moment. Big Sean is the best.
Absolutely right now. And seeing him in concert last night, him control the crowd and the different faces in the crowd, it was black, it was white, it was Asian, it was Latino. It was just a dope show. And then after the show, he took really good care of my kids and wife, took pictures. He sat with them for a while, long time, just talking, chopped it up with them. It was just a dope experience. So
yeah,
shout
boy.
To Big Sean. And that was at Radio City Music Hall. They usually don't do those type of concerts. But they did that concert. It was a really, really dope show. G-Eazy came out with Made in Tokyo. It was a dope show. So shout out to Big Sean. Shout out to Def Jam. Shout out to Steve Bartles. I seen Steve Bartles last night. Shout out to Natina. I love Natina from Def Jam.
Salute
she really
Natina.
Takes care of
she
me.
She got your
sure.
tickets.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Natina, damn it.
She didn't give me tickets this time.
Hey, Natina.
But Natina made sure that the kids and the wife was good.
Well, and one thing I meant to tell you guys on this trip, one of my friends that came with me, the ATV flipped over on her arm. We spent the day in the hospital after that. It was a really bad accident.
How was
the
Jamaica hospital? I'm just curious.
Well, it wasn't very nice. And it was a terrible experience.
On a scale
experience.
Of 1 to 10.
But they made her drink cast oil with everything? Drink a little cast oil?
We'll discuss it later.
Rub some curry on your wound. Rub some curry on your wound. You'll be fine.
Oh my goodness. All right. We got front page news. What are we talking about?
We'll talk about a lot of apologies. A lot of apologies. So on Spies is apologizing. United Airlines apologies. We'll discuss all of that.
All right. And tell them why you're blessed. If you feel blessed and you want to spread some positivity, 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, where do you want to start, Yee?
Well, let's start with Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary.
Oh, that guy.
Even while I was on vacation, I was still watching the news every day and watching all of the drama that was unfolding. Doesn't seem real. Now, Sean Spicer had said these comments when he was talking about United States relations with Russia and with Syria and Russia. And let's hear what Spicer had to say originally.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
The Nazis murdered 2.7 million Jews in death camps, gassed about 6,000 a day in Auschwitz alone.
So does he think that gas chambers, not chemicals?
I don't know. Define gas. Define chemicals, Sean Spicer. What are you talking about,
goodness
sir?
Gracious.
Do you know?
Well, Sean
Imagine
Spicer,
what his views of slavery are.
Has since apologized, of course, and here's his apology.
I was obviously trying to make a point about the heinous acts that Assad had made against his own people last week using chemical weapons and gas. And frankly, I mistakenly used an inappropriate and insensitive reference to the Holocaust, for which, frankly, there is no comparison. And for that, I apologize. It was a mistake to do that. Anyone who was offended by those comments, it's not, as I said, I'm not, you know, in any way standing by them. I was trying to draw a comparison for which there shouldn't have been one. It was insensitive and inappropriate.
Nope, it's not that easy. Jutang Clan, get him. Jump on his ass. Don't let up on him. Mm-hmm. Put the pressure on him. Keep your foot on his neck.
Well, okay? House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is saying that he should be fired. She said while Jewish families across America celebrate Passover, the chief spokesman...
And it was Passover?
Yes, mm-hmm. of this White House is downplaying the horror of the Holocaust. Sean Spicer must be fired, and the president must immediately disavow his spokesman's statements. Either he is speaking for the president, or the president should have known better than to hire him.
Yeah, even nothing he said made any sense. Like, nothing. I don't even understand the point he was trying to make, because what is he saying? Like,
why did he even bring this in?
What are you trying to say? Even Hitler wasn't so bad. Like, what are you trying to say? Like, there's no level to the devil. The devil is the devil at all times, okay? That's what Hitler was, a devil, period. There's no sympathizing with Hitler. There's no softening Hitler, trying to normalize or humanize Hitler.
It had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, why would you try to compare? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, keep your foot on his neck, okay? Don't let up on him, Jewish people. Flex that Jewish privilege. Keep your foot on his neck, all right?
All right, another apology that happened was the CEO of United Airlines has issued a second public apology.
Oh, boy.
About the man who was dragged off the plane bleeding. All right, Dr. David Dow was his name. Now, the CEO, Oscar Nunez, wrote a statement. He said that no one should ever be mistreated this way. Yeah, I think. And he also said, originally, remember, he said the man was disruptive and belligerent, and right. they were trying to reaccommodate passengers. Well, He has since sent out a whole entire new letter to his whole team at United, and he said, like you, I was upset to see and hear about what happened last night. While the facts and circumstances are still evolving, especially with respect to why this customer defied Chicago aviation security officers the way he did, to give you a clearer picture of what transpired, I've included below a recap. And he went on and said that there are lessons that we can learn from this experience.
He only said that because stocks dropped.
Oh, incredibly.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
People were cutting up their United Airlines cards and everything.
Fake-ass apology.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's front-page news. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, whatever it may be. 800-585-1051. Phone lines are wide open. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Take us on Bluetooth. Your phone sound crazy, bro.
Yeah, you trying to get the little sexy voice on. Why you trying to text you guys this morning, brother?
Nah, man, this is Mark from South Carolina, man.
What part of South Carolina?
Lake City.
Lake City. What's happening, Lake City?
You got no service in Lake City?
Man. Nah, I have to listen to the Charleston station, man.
Oh, you listening to 99?
103.9.
Oh, no, that's Columbia, man. Columbia's 103.9. Yeah, how 103.9. Salute to the Metro. 803 got my own day there this past weekend.
Well, tell them why you blessed,
man. Oh, yeah,
man.
Yeah. Congratulations to you on that, too.
So what happens on that day out there now?
I don't know yet. I'm figuring that out now. I'm putting together some things with my people. But every April 8th, we're going to do something.
Why you blessed, bro? Tell us why you blessed.
I actually called to say why I'm mad, man. I think I missed it. I never heard nothing else about it. About the cookout Charlamagne was supposed to have down in Charleston.
We talked about that yesterday. When you having that cookout, bro?
I'm going to still do it. I'm just waiting for the right time. I guess like maybe spring, maybe around Memorial weekend, do the fish fry, celebrating the soon-to-be
execution
of Dylan Roof.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, my name is Kenny Conner from Hollywood, Florida.
Tell him why you mad, bro.
Hey, I just bought this album from Joey Badass, All American Badass.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a fan of Joey. I liked his last album.
Yeah, I like Joey Badass. I just seen him on the street, too, walking around.
Yeah, yeah. His album is fantastic, but I feel like the man is underrated.
Oh, you feel like he's underrated?
Well, first of all, you should feel blessed that you got his album and that you love it. Okay, we should get Joey Badass up here.
What does that underrated mean? Like, you know what it is? Some people just don't have that hype beast machine behind them. I feel like Big Sean's like that, Joey Badass, Wale in a lot of ways. Like, they don't have them hype
beasts. Exactly.
You gotta have hype beast behind you.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, tell them why you mad.
Man, I'm mad at Charlamagne right now, man.
Uh-oh.
Talk to me.
You always put separation. Everybody always put separation to everything whenever something bad happens. Why can't we all be equal? Like, you said, you know, put them Jewish people needs to put their foot on there, keep their foot on their neck. Why can't we all just come together as one instead of always putting Jewish this or black that?
Can I ask you a question, sir? Are you even aware of what Sean Spicer said? Sean Spicer said something directly that affects Jewish people. What are you talking about? So, yes, I want Jewish people to keep their foot on his neck until something happens. What are you talking about?
Whenever something bad happens, everybody always puts a separation.
Well, I think the statement was particularly offensive to Jewish people exactly. Because of the Holocaust and because what Hitler did. As far as murdering, you know.
But I get what he's saying.
We should all
be behind him and get on his neck. I get what you're saying,
though. Yeah, but that's not separation. That's actually paying respect to the people who were offended, and that's defining the people who were offended and why they were offended. What if people don't know the history of Jewish people? What if they don't know anything about 2.7 million Jews being murdered by Nazis in death camps, 6,000 a day gassed in Auschwitz? What if they don't know anything about that?
Yeah, I get what he's saying. He's saying that we should all stand together and stand on that man's neck. And
we should, but it's nothing wrong with saying, hey, Jewish people,
it wasn't a bad separation.
Right, absolutely. If somebody said something offensive to women and women's organizations jump on his ass and I say, there you go, women, keep your foot on his neck. That don't mean I'm not standing with the women.
Right.
I'm just saying, women, keep your foot on his neck. What's the problem with that?
800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. Now, when we come back, tell them why you're blessed. If you feel something, you want to spread some positivity this morning, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, listen up.
Okay. Are you blessed and highly favored?
I feel blessed.
Tell the congregation at 800-585-1051.
Yeah. This is
station.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Nestle.
Hey, tell them why you're blessed, mama.
I'm so blessed because I have the greatest boyfriend in the world, and I know we've only been together for like a short time. It's been like over a little over a month.
Oh my God. Calm down. Simmer down.
He's happy right now.
Simmer down. Everything just simmer down.
This is the womb month. He simmer got a womb month. He's womb right now.
Let your tea cool off a little bit. All right, you're going to burn your little
mouth.
Well,
let's hear what happened. What happened?
He just, every day he makes me so happy.
Oh. Yay. That's
you
sweet.
Don't even know him. You know his representative right now.
Well, let her be happy. This is tell him why you're blessed. Let's hear how great he is. Go ahead. What does he do?
You dating his hologram right now, boo. All right.
He sends me all these cute things all the time, and he makes sure he tells all of his friends and he knows
he hits
cares about me.
He had sex with you yet?
No.
Oh, man.
Well, that's me. Listen, excuse these bitter women that I work with, okay, honey? You go ahead and be blessed.
Listen, call us back a month or two after he has sex with you and tell me if y'all still even together.
You sound like a bitter woman, man. Leave her alone. Let her be happy.
But good luck. You enjoy your early months, all right?
I love a little delusion in the morning with my green tea.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what up?
What up, what up? You a truck driver. Tell them why you blessed, bro.
Man, my truck grinding every morning. You know, I just actually came off of home time, you know, and yesterday my girl passed her realtor to get her license, but she still got to do the state license. But she passed the test, you know, she doubted herself, and I'm like, why you doubting yourself? Just go do it. Just take it. You know, if you fail, I still got your back.
All right.
You know, so... She passed.
What
you
state?
Know, I'm out here right now.
What state?
About to go get me a student.
About to go get you a student.
Go get you a student.
Yeah, I'm a trainer too while I'm out here driving. Training new blood.
Oh, okay, know? okay. What state, bro?
Making the world safe.
What state?
Oh, I'm from Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Okay. All right, so she can get some cheap deals or some cheap properties in Georgia.
Yeah, they're kind of cheap, you know. I mean, her mother does it too, you know, but I'm like, you know, I might jump in it myself.
There you go.
Later on, after I get myself established in this, because I'm going to get my own truck too while I'm at it. So, you know, that's why I say I'm blessed at the same time, because in a little while, I'm going to be in my own truck too.
All right. Hello, who's this?
It's James.
Tell him why you blessed, bro.
I'm blessed. I have a beautiful fiance and three beautiful boys.
There you go.
Great job.
There you go. That's all it takes.
That's it.
It ain't hard.
That's enough right there.
That's it.
Not hard. Now I was walking the door, working a night shift, and I'm about to kiss the family goodbye and go to bed.
Now, how old are your boys, bro? How old are your boys?
I have a 6-year-old. I have a... Damn, losing track. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
All right, you make sure you play with them boys, man. You keep them close, man. Let them know their daddy love them.
I got one with me right now. Say, hi, Jack. No love? Okay.
All right, bro. Yo, you know my son, you know it's a rap for me, man. My son beat me in basketball yesterday. Really beat me.
What a surprise.
My son beat me in basketball.
That's good.
I was up 7-1. And then I got
tired. Was it Jackson? Was it Jackson that beat you?
No, it wasn't Jackson. Jackson's a 2-year-old, you ass.
Could have been.
13-year-old. He just started J-ing, and then I started playing up close, and then he started crossing me over. And it got to the point where I fouled him one good time. Like, I had to sound like...
That's good.
I threw him on the floor.
You can't give your...
He got back up like, word, that's how you want to play?
Yeah, you can't give your son nothing. Can't give him nothing. Let him earn everything that he gets.
Damn it, little bastard. All right. When we come back, we got some rumors. What are we talking about?
Yes, we'll talk about a new book that is coming out. And this author is discussing how his life went into a downward spiral because of some sex scandals that he had to openly admit happened. Also, Steph Curry, do other NBA ball players hate him? We'll tell you what's being said.
Okay. I mean, nobody really likes light-skinned guys, but you know.
Watch your mouth. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yeah. Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Welcome back, Yee!
Thank you. It's good to be back. I know I missed you doing the rumors. I heard you did an excellent job.
Young Yee cakes.
All right.
Cakes at the bar, Yee.
Kendrick, it's a bathing suit. And I've seen you in something smaller than that. In the Bahamas, okay?
Touché.
All right, Kendrick Lamar has revealed his album details, his album cover. Damn. What did y'all think? I know you guys saw it.
I don't know. It gave me a
old
ODB
dirty
type
bastard,
of vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Kendrick is always influenced by the Wu-Tang in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because when I first saw it, it made me have all these thoughts about, because I did used to work for Wu-Tang and with Old Dirty Bastard. Mm-hmm. And it actually made me come up with all these memories of working for Wu-Tang and working with Old Dirty Bastard. When I saw it, it inspired all of these memories from my first real job.
Okay.
As an adult. So, yes, I see the ODB in this, and it's called Damn. It's 14 tracks. It's going to have appearances from Rihanna and from U2 as well. So I know we're all excited to see what's going to happen.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm always here for a new Kendrick project. Kendrick is, you know, one of the leaders of the new school in this rap game. If not the lead, he is the leader of the new school to me. But I still think Big Sean is the best at this present moment. But all that could change tomorrow.
Yeah, Big Sean's concert last night, crazy. You forget how many hits that guy has.
Yeah.
Hits after hit after hit.
Well, there were a lot of memes from this album cover as well. I'm sure you guys saw some of those as well. But we're all here for it. Okay. Yep. David Letterman has a book out. It's called Letterman, The Last Giant of Late Night. It's his biography. And he talks about how his life spiraled out of control after his 2009 sex scandal. He said he compared it to having killed your family in a car crash. That's because he had to come out on air and admit that he had a series of affairs with female employees, including his longtime assistant, Stephanie Burkett. As a matter of fact, Burkett's ex-boyfriend tried to extort David Letterman when he found out about the affair from reading her diary. He actually ended up going to jail for extortion, and he was sentenced to 6 months for that. But he talked about how a lot of people suspected that he was having this affair. He had a meeting with his staffers. He had to kind of let everybody know what was going on. He said, I didn't want to go outside. Outside, I was scared as I've ever been in my life. The show was endlessly helpful. He had to publicly apologize on his show and admit everything, that he was having sex with different women that worked for him.
I mean, people can survive a little infidelity, like a little infidelity, adultery. Okay, you cheated on your wife. We get it. You know, it's really not for us to judge. That's more between you and your house.
Him and his family.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's out here sexually assaulting women like Bill O'Reilly.
Well, the thing is that it was a series of affairs, and he actually ended up having to come out and say it on air. So I'm sure that was very destroying and hurtful to his entire family.
Did he tell his wife first? As long as he told his wife first and got that out the way, you can tell everybody else, like, look, man.
I mean, it's still depressing. I mean, I went through something similar, and it's not easy to deal with. I mean,
well, David Letterman said, looking at it now, yes, I think they would have had good reason to fire me because he could have lost his job over that as well.
Really?
He said, but at that time, I was largely ignorant as to what really I had done. It just seemed like, okay, well, here's somebody who had an intimate relationship with somebody he shouldn't have had an intimate relationship with. And he said, I always said, well, who hasn't, to myself?
Why would he lose his job?
I guess because
it's his assistant and people that work for him.
Well,
so
if he paid his assistant, he could have did it. But if it's in work employees that he worked with, maybe.
You can't affect your employees?
When you're a superior, you can't really do that, because then people could argue that it puts them in a position where...
So what about when Chelsea Handler was on E and she was dating the head of E?
That's true.
But I don't get it.
Well,
like,
now dating and having a real relationship with is different, but I think it's different when...
We could have a real relationship, but I'm married.
You're having an affair.
That's not a real relationship, you jerk.
All right, now let's discuss Steph Curry. There's a new book out by Marcus Thompson, and he says that a lot of NBA players don't like Steph Curry at all. He actually did a radio interview, and he discusses the reasons why people don't like him. And here's what he said.
There was a time where LeBron and Steph were like little brother, big brother. And LeBron was like a mentor. And then Steph kind of like challenged LeBron's status. And I think the part that's odd for Steph is, like, why does that mean there has to be some beef between us? Because the outside world is pitting us together. Why do you and I have to now have this disdain between us? I thought we were cool. That's the question that is in Curry's mind and Curry's camp. Why do you not like me when all I did was basically respect everything you did and kind of follow the motto you carried out?
Sounds like hate.
Yeah,
he also said hate to me.
Exactly what it
sounds
like.
We'll get more into it later because we're going to discuss this some more. But he also talks about Chris Paul not liking him. And he even said that Russell Westbrook just didn't like Steph Curry at all. So that book is out as well. The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry.
It's probably jealousy and envy. I mean, Steph is little and he's khaki colored and he's got that perfect kind of image thing, you know, the wife and the kids.
The number one selling jersey in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they probably just hate on the smallest things with Steph. Like, yo, Aisha chicken trash. Like stupid stuff like that.
And he just wants to be liked. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. And Yee is back. Do the news, Yee. Do the news.
Envy, you still have work to do. Just because I'm here doesn't mean you don't introduce the stories.
All right, well, let's talk about Sean Spicer then.
Yes, Sean Spicer has had to apologize. Now he went on with Wolf Blitzer, and he said he made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes, right? Well, here were the comments.
This is a big one, buddy.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer made.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
I'm not gonna lie, I had to Google his gas and chemical. Cause see, I still respect these people's positions, so I be thinking, well, maybe they know something I don't know, because Pluto used to be a planet back in the day, but they don't say Pluto a planet, so maybe gas not a chemical. So I had to Google,
and what did they say,
is gas a chemical? Oh, gas is still a chemical.
Of course it is.
In fact, gas is made up of 150 chemicals, and yes, Hitler did kill over 6 million Jewish people in gas chambers. So those are chemical chambers.
Those are chemical chambers.
Yes.
Right.
So Sean Spicer was trying to brief reporters on U.S. relations with Russia and Syria, and that was his explanation.
What college did he go to? Does anybody
know?
He
compared, I don't know, Hampton?
No, definitely not Hampton. Definitely not Wavy Wesley.
All right, well, he did apologize for these remarks, and that's not good either because I don't really know how you can apologize.
I was obviously trying to make a point about the heinous acts that Assad had made against his own people last week, using chemical weapons and gas. And frankly, I mistakenly used an inappropriate and insensitive reference to the Holocaust, for which, frankly, there is no comparison. And for that, I apologize. It was a mistake to do that.
Are you done?
Anyone who was offended by those comments, it's not, as I said, I'm not, you know, in any way standing by them. I was trying to draw a comparison for which there shouldn't have been one. It was insensitive and inappropriate.
On Passover, no less.
And don't just shrug it off and say anyone who was offended to those comments, okay? The Jewish people who are offended by those comments, give them their due first and then say everybody else.
I was flying back from Jamaica. I was actually watching when he was doing his whole apology song and dance and everything. Even the apology was bad because he made some mistakes in that too. But you're the spokesman. You can't make huge blunders like that.
I'm not the highest grade of weed.
It's just common sense.
I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but I know for a fact Hitler killed millions and millions of Jewish people by putting them in the gas chamber.
And he went to UConn.
Like, come on.
He went to UConn.
Okay. Now, United Airlines CEO has also had to apologize, Oscar Munoz. He had to apologize after that video went viral of a passenger being dragged off the plane. He was bleeding and everything. And company shares plummeted. I think over $1 billion the stock went down. And he apologized also. And I don't know what's going to end up happening. A lot of people were cutting up their United Airlines card saying they wouldn't fly there anymore. A lot of memes were made off of that United Airlines.
This is what another airline should actually take their miles and be able to, like Delta and United sometimes mess with each other. They should take the miles to take some of those people.
Well, Sean Spicer said there was no man dragged off United Airlines flight. In fact, the man was being carried because he was sleepy and the United people were going above and beyond the duty of, you know, carrying this man because they knew he was tired.
Oh.
Bill O'Reilly also is on vacation. I just got back from my vacation. Now, Bill O'Reilly's on vacation. Some people feel like his show actually might get canceled while he's away on vacation because he lost a lot of advertisers after these damaging sexual harassment allegations that have surfaced, and they've been surfacing for years now, and which he has settled in several cases. Now, here was Bill O'Reilly before vacation.
Last fall, I booked a trip that should be terrific. Not going to tell you where it is, but we have a contest on BillO'Reilly.com. Guess where Bill's going. We all need R&R. Put it to good use. Plan it. All of us deserve a break, so make sure you take yours.
We are not going to let any of this distract us from the fact Bill O'Reilly lost 40 sponsors because he out here sexually harassing women.
Okay? Right, I was going to say, advertising, that money is what carries the show. Obviously, he used to have 33 national ads that were more than 14 minutes in an average broadcast. Now, the show has 7 ads that total 4 minutes and 40 seconds. So, I don't know what's going to end up happening. They had to give him a bunch of different extra content to fill up that time. But if you advertise with Bill O'Reilly, I don't know if I can support your product at all, period.
And that's not a vacation. That's what you call a rich white supremacist suspension.
Oh, okay.
Let's try to let this disappear
They say, hey, Bill, take a break. Go on vacation.
And Spicer went to Connecticut College, not UConn. Connecticut College. People from UConn's like, he didn't go here. No, he went to Connecticut College.
What the hell is Connecticut College?
I don't know.
I've actually visited. I went to college in Connecticut. I went to Wesleyan. So we've actually gone to events at Connecticut
CTC. Sean Spice is your most popping alumni, unless y'all can tell us something different.
My goodness.
Y'all gonna have to build a statue of Sean Spice soon.
My goodness.
Okay?
All right. Well, that is front page news. Now, when we come back, we have a special guest. His name is My Son.
This is one of my guys, our guys.
Oh, you know, My Son's our guy.
We've been knowing My Son for a long time. He's a rapper slash activist.
He's a rapper from the Bronx.
He rips mics. He fights for civil rights.
He had a big
now
break.
That was a good rhyme.
That's My Son.
That's My Son's rap.
That's his bar.
Yeah, that's a good rhyme right there.
That's one of his bars.
Now, he was signed, and when he got signed, at the same time he was signed and his career was about to take off, he was also facing a robbery charge. And he kind of lost it all. We'll talk about all that and more. My Son, when we come back, is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. He goes by the name of My Son. He's an activist, he's a rapper, and he has some comments about Troy Ave. Ladies and gentlemen, My Son.
My Son. What up?
My Son's in the building. Now, My Son's been all over the internet the last couple of weeks for a couple of things.
I don't want to talk about that right now.
It's about the freestyle he does.
Oh, yeah, the freestyle's amazing.
People were surprised that My Son could actually spit. I'm like, My Son has always been nice.
Dead nice.
Do you feel like you got a resurgence of new fans now, that people who's never heard you before?
Definitely.
Now they look at you more than security?
Definitely. Yeah, you know, I was the woman's more security for a minute. But
And Vlad
security. You know, everybody's security. But a lot of people be like, yo, they should have been. I'm like, but you can't. Everybody don't know what you know. You know, you heard. You've been around, so you know what I do. So you just got to embrace the people that's finally getting here and just say welcome.
Now, it's a resurgence for you, though, because, you know, late 90s, you was, like, about to be one of them next guys, along with the DMXs, and Big, was Pun out then?
Yes.
Yeah, Pun.
Pun was out then.
Yeah, you had your deal with Def Jam.
Yep.
What was the scene like then? Because it was way more competitive.
It was way more competitive at that point. It was lyrics, you know what I'm saying? You just had to be a complete artist at that time. It wasn't just signing you because you did one thing or you looked the part, this and that. It was complete artist. Like, you had to compete on a different level at that point.
So if you had that situation going, violated Def Jam, how did you end up in prison for 7 years?
I had caught 2 armed robbery cases prior to me being signed. You young, you from the Bronx, you from the hood, and you running around. We ain't got no paid lawyers and none of that. We don't know none of that. You get locked up. Most of the people get probation. You say, oh, I'm going to beat this case, this and that. You know, so I knew I didn't really do what I was locked up for. So I'm not even paying no attention to it. I'm like, I'm going to court. I'm just taking court dates. And, you know, first they indicting me. They're like, you indicted. I'm like, what that mean? Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? So
you never had a lawyer on it or nothing like that?
I had a regular, you know, court-appointed lawyer.
God,
just
damn.
Thinking, you know, you like, I'm 18 years old. I ain't rob him. You know what I'm saying? We had a discussion, a beef, but I ain't robbed nobody. You know what I'm saying? So I went to trial with a lawyer that I didn't like, that really didn't even know what he was doing. Let them tell me who was my lawyer and end up blowing trial.
Wow, did they offer you a deal or no?
They offered me 1 year in prison.
Right, and you didn't take the year, you wanted to do 7.
Yeah, I just got signed.
What the hell?
You know, I'm like, well, I'm going to take a year and I ain't do it either. I'm like, you can't tell me that. It don't make no sense to me.
So now you got a deal, you just got a bunch of bread.
Yeah.
Now your name is ringing crazy.
Like crazy.
And then you get convicted of 7 years.
7 to 14 years.
Eesh, how much time did you do?
7.
Eesh.
7 years.
How much did that derail everything?
10 years. I mean, you do 7, come home for 10 and still grind. So it's like set me back about damn near 20 years.
Now, you know, before you got locked up, your nickname was the Problem Child. And I remember everybody thought that you and 50 had beef because in one of his verses.
Problem Child.
No problem. Was there ever a problem with that or not?
Nah, 50 was... It was pretty much paying homage, man. Like, me and 50, we came up, like, at the same time. I remember me and him being in the studio with Jam Master Jay and Prince Monkey D, and me and him going back and forth. Like, we was the young, up-and-coming dudes at that time. When I got locked up, he even threw one of the verses with the Bronx dudes love me like I'm My Son. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was never no beef with me and 50. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people always compared us. You know what I'm saying? That was always people's thing, comparing us and whatever.
I think I heard on Drink Champs, they said you got into a battle with somebody.
Shine.
That's who it was. Diddy set up a battle between you and Shine.
No, Diddy didn't set it up. What happened was we was at Justin's
Mm-hmm. And
that's when it used to be Puff's restaurants in Manhattan. Used to be popping, 21st Street.
That was popping. You know what I'm saying? They had just signed Sean, and I was hearing that he got $1 million deal. And, you know, I'm hungry from the streets. I'm just competitive. I got a million rounds. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I tear him up. We at Justin's, and him and Nori is outside, like, just freestyling. They just in a little cypher. Like, that's
Sean and Nori.
Yeah, Sean and Nori. So they just outside freestyling. You know what I'm saying? So I jumped in the cypher. I was reckless at that time. I was saying everything. So then Nori just looked at me like, calm down, killer, slow down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then he was like, so then me and Sean, it's like, it turned into like a personal thing with me and Sean going back and forth. And then, you know, I remember Nori was like, damn, this boy is an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that started the buzz. I had like a big bidding war at that time.
Who won the battle?
I mean, I won.
I mean, so I said, I won.
I won. I mean, Sean to tell you, you know what I'm saying? That's my bro too, you know, but he said, like, he admitted, like, nah, he won that one. You know what I'm saying? So I had a big bidding war, and then, you know, just moved from there.
All right, we got more with my son. When we come back, don't move. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have my son in the building, activist, rapper. He's been signed to Def Jam through Chris Lighty. At the height of his career, he actually got locked up and damn near lost it all. Well, my son is in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, the one thing I like about Mice is that Mice is real in the sense of just being a real man.
Fact.
But then you're real in that stupid sense of the criminal stuff, too.
Yeah.
So you have a right to speak about certain things that you speak out against. So I want to ask you, like, what's the difference between real versus criminal?
Criminal is just you do crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got fake dudes that do crime. You got stupid people that do crime. I mean, doing a crime does not make you real. And I think that's the biggest misconception. Dudes like, what? I was busting my gun. Yo, I sold this. And I was like, what does that mean, though? Like, where's your character?
Mm-hmm.
Real means that if you got a problem with a man, a real man to face that man face to face.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in close proximities. I'm not going to get a gun for you because we got a disagreement. What's so real about that?
Mm-hmm.
If I got a disagreement with you, I believe that I could face you man to man. If we got, let's scrap. That's real. That means I'm not scared.
Mm-hmm.
The scared, a bunch of scared dudes will shoot. Mm-hmm. I know so many scared dudes that caught bodies because they shot somebody. And it was nothing real, nothing tough. There was no level of honor, no level of dignity. And people keep confusing the two. And that's what my problem is with this era, is that people confuse stupidity and fear for somebody to be real. We got to call out the bull. Like, we just got to call it out. Not on my watch. You're not going to do something stupid in front of me. And I'm not going to call you a friend, foe, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know who contributed? This is my theory. I feel like the 90s, 2000s, there was a lot of real people in the rap game. Like, people who actually did real things in the street, and they became rappers. But then that gangster lifestyle became profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So when it became profitable, you just had all these CB4 dudes who was like, you know what? Let's rap about the criminal lifestyle, because that's what sells records.
Mm-hmm. And then some of them actually just never was built for the lifestyle and just got in the lifestyle because what happened is people start taking the consequences out of it. Like, when you listen to rap now, everybody's a super gangster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super thug. There's no consequences. Nobody goes to jail. Yep. Nobody dies. You just make millions of dollars and you just live happily ever after. You in the streets. So what happens is some kid that ain't really in the street, he's like, well, I can do that. There's no consequence. You just make money and that's it. So they go and they get involved in that lifestyle. And then when they realize that ain't it, they work with the state, or they tell on everybody, or they bring everybody down because you never was really built for that life.
Right.
And you was misled into actually what that life was. And it wasn't that.
Now you had some comments about Troy Az's Breakfast Club interview.
Yes, sir.
And well, what was your statement to people who haven't heard? How did you feel about that interview?
You know,
what he had to say?
What my statements were that he was a bozo. I was so outraged just watching the interview because this man almost lost his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This man is fighting for his life. This man is going to court facing real charges. And when I was listening to this interview, there was like somebody was in a movie giving you, yo, this has happened. I told him this. And yeah, you ain't no gangster. You ain't no killer. And I'm just like that's just not like it's just not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. That's not what I want you to tell. My son is watching you because he might like some of your music. I like some of your music, so he might listen to your music and see you and be like, that's real. And if I don't say that ain't real, then I'm wrong,
right?
Because I know it's not real. I'm 100% real.
Let's say that did happen.
If I tell you a story about some gangster stuff that I've done, and I'm at a different stage in my life, and I'm evolving as a man, and I realize that, damn, this caused people lives. I almost lost my life. I'm not telling it to glorify it. Mm-hmm. You know, we call it day room. When we was up north, we call that day room. The day room used to come to the day room and be like, yo, me and my mans, we ran up on this, and they used to have all these antics, and you be listening like, and I used to just go away from them. I go to the cube because we in jail for that. So you glorifying that? What does it really give me? Am I mm-hmm. getting some level of credibility because I did some stupid shit? Or am I getting credibility because I almost died? Am I telling you a story talking about a fake can't kill a real? Just mm-hmm. think about that. Most of the real niggas I know was killed by fake. Mm-hmm. They wasn't killed by another real dude. They was killed by the fake ones that somebody sent that they didn't even see as a threat. So that statement don't even make sense to me. But this is what
I don't think he meant physically, though. I think he was trying to say, like, the character of a real, like, a fake person can't kill the character of a real person.
I don't know, but I just know the average person that doesn't have the foresight that you say, doesn't have the discernment that
true,
you have,
true.
Is going to take it that you just can't die. I had a dude on arguing with me. He went and made a whole video about me, talking about, yeah, you don't know, I've been through that. I had to grab the gun. You don't know, that's real. And I'm just looking, and I'm like, so what do you think that? What you doing now is you putting out energy into the world. This is what happens. When you start doing that, because there's predators and there's prey. And I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that prey on, okay, he think he can't die. So let me show him he can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you put out this energy, this machismo, this ultimate tough, I got shine and this and that, you see what happens with it. We've seen throughout time, it's never worked for nobody. So I understand that. So I feel like if I allow you to put that into the world as real, and I call myself real, and that doesn't coincide with what I believe is real, then I wouldn't be a real person.
Guys like Troy come on here and say things like that is because of what he said. They're celebrated for it in a sense. Like he said, he walk in the club and he get love or whatever. Like we have rewarded people for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, and that's the era we in. That's the what the culture has turned to. You know
why,
what I'm saying?
Why didn't you have a conversation with him personally? Call him, reach out to him personally?
I don't have a problem with him. I don't want no problem with him, but we just different individuals. So I don't want a friendship with him because he's not the type of person that I would have a friendship with.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So me calling him, I've been in situations where I was around him where he said things that was totally disaccordant to anything that I felt was real.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, this ain't somebody I'm calling. This is somebody I just have to call out and say this ain't real. Now, it's not about, I want to keep reiterating.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about beef. It's not about violence. It's not about that. It's just about separating a narrative that I know is not real from one that is real.
And I don't have a problem with that because if somebody's putting something out negative to the public that you think is influencing people in a bad way, you should publicly denounce that.
Because he put it into the public. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like he DM'd me something that said something to me and then I would have hit him privately. This is something you put out. If I put something in public every day, I go on my Instagram page and have a conversation with people. Because I'm it's real for me. Anything I say, I can back on and I can stand on. I'm not going to ignore you and be like, oh, you beneath me. You a fan. You ain't relevant, so I don't got to respond. No, I'm going to respond to you because you might have a question or you might say something that might merit a response.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I think that when you put anything out into the universe and you put out into the world, especially as an entertainer and the people are paying you, then you are subject to ridicule. You subject to somebody different opinion, and that's just part of life.
All right. I saw Irv Gotti giving you love too. Have you spoke to him?
I haven't spoke to Irv in a minute.
Yeah, after the freestyle,
Irv always shows love, man. Irv is another genuine dude, man. Like whenever you speak to Irv, he always enlightening you and telling you, you know, just giving you jewels. Like we don't really have dudes mm-hmm. that really, and that's what we need in this era. Like we need the dudes right under Irv to start giving the jewels to these Kodaks and them. Like these dudes is dope, but somebody got to sit them down and say, okay. Now it's time for you. You got here. You're from the streets and this and that. We all from that. Now let's take it here. Let me show you how to stay curved and stay out and bring somebody who was just like you to the next level. That's what we got to start doing.
All right. Well, my song, we appreciate you for joining us.
Oh. Definition of a G Part 3. OG Bobby Johnson coming soon.
All right.
When's that dropping?
May.
Mike's got to give us a 16 or something. I mean, why not?
Oh, that's what he did. He put me on.
Would you rather Envy play the record?
Yeah. Okay, Envy.
Boom. Put
Envy
him on the spot.
There you go. Envy about to play the remix. The remix, that's how we own it, featuring Davies, Fab, and Raekwon.
Okay.
That's how we own it.
All right.
Okay.
The Breakfast Club, come
I made
on.
It.
My son.
Envy playing my record. I made it.
Breakfast Club.
Is in here complaining about all the penis pics she's receiving, but I'm sitting there telling her about them little ass cheeks she showed on Instagram. She want to show the cheeks.
Hold on, keyword little, okay?
Oh, very little. Regular. No, it ain't regular.
Little.
That's a little hump in
on vacation.
Back.
What's wrong with posting a picture on vacation? People ain't do it all
wrong.
The time.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just telling you that once you show them cheeks, don't be surprised about all the penis pics you get. You got dudes hot and bothered
he
out
had
there.
One leg up, one leg down.
One little arch in the back looking back at it.
We were ordering drinks.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Angela Yee's ass cheeks. You can currently see him on her Instagram at Angela Yee.
Still posted a picture.
There you go. That's the picture.
It's a nice regular vacation.
By the way, that's the last picture Angela Yee has posted. Another picture has not been up there for 3 days. Angela Yee shot that shot and her hand's still in the air.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, you ain't hear what Yee said before we cracked the mic.
She
said, that was a tame picture.
That was tame.
That was tame.
Wow.
I didn't think there was anything that graphic about a picture in a one-piece bathing suit.
Explain to the people what type of pictures you're getting right now.
Well, there are some pictures of people who are masturbating.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
That's all your fault.
And you can see the...
All right.
That's all your fault.
You know
disgusting.
What? Let's get to the rumors.
That's your cheeks. Blame your cheeks.
Chris Brown.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, the rumor is that Quavo from the Migos is dating Karrueche now, and Chris Brown is angry and feeling betrayed. Now, take this with a grain of salt. This is from TMZ. They're saying that Chris Brown actually was a big supporter of the Migos and felt like he was friends with Quavo. He actually even called them his real friends and brothers in an interview with Billboard magazine. He said, "I will never hate on you, N-words." Well, now there's an issue because Karrueche, his ex, who we all know he loves, is now dating Quavo. Now, Chris Brown also feels like it's not a coincidence that Karrueche went and got that restraining order against him so that her and Quavo could go public in peace. So I don't know what's going on, but
Was cool, I would hope Quavo would have mentioned something to him first.
Well, Chris Brown be ready to die for that vagina, boy. Chris Brown is not playing when it comes to cowabunga.
But if they were cool, is it a matter of him just telling him or is it a matter of him staying away from his ex?
Man, it's the industry. We all know this industry is incestuous anyway, so it don't matter.
If we cool, at least call me. Let me know something.
No, we don't got to call nobody. Rihanna don't got to call him when she dated another guy. Kawasaki don't got to call nobody when she dates somebody else.
If they your friend?
What would that baby be named, though?
Quavo and
Karrueche? Quavo and Kawasaki?
Karrueche.
Like, that baby Quavucci. Did not have a normal name.
Quavucci.
Karrueche!
All right, now let's discuss Boosie Badass. There were some issues while he was shopping in Mississippi. He ended up getting allegedly pepper sprayed while he was followed by a large crowd. They said a loss prevention officer maced him in the face while he was looking around in the Polo Ralph Lauren store.
His security should have whooped them in the ass.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it was a big scuffle. There's video footage of it. And Boosie also says that they stole his jewelry. The police, he says, took a bag of his stuff worth $1 million. Check it out.
And one more thing. When they pulled a van over leaving after they took a couple of my pilots to jail or whatever, my jewelry sack was in there. Over $1 million worth of jewelry. Now they're saying no jewelry sack was in there. Now these cops are trying to steal $1 million worth of jewelry. But I'm going to fight for mine till it's on.
That's a hard one. That's going to be a hard one. He's going to be fighting them police
forever.
Well,
the Mississippi Police Department has already denied that they took anything from him. And
of course.
They're saying that's not true at all. Apparently, they're saying 3 men and 2 juveniles are being charged with assaulting the guard outside of a store.
The guard assaulted them. They were shopping. The guard sprayed them with mace.
I don't know. Listen, that video crazy. Footage was crazy. All right, T.I. was on with our girl, Angie Martinez.
Drop on the Clues Bombs for Angie Martinez, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
The legend.
And a lot of things came out of this discussion with Miss Angie Martinez. Now, he talked about marriage and how marriage is a distraction from things that he has going on. Check it out.
I'm striving to take my family, its name, and our legacy as far as it can possibly go. And in my life, there will be people, places, and things that help me get there. And there will be people, places, and things that distract me and deter me from getting there. You know, it just seems to me like marriage and what marriage means and what marriage does, it just is one of them things that's going to distract me and deter me.
What?
That sounds crazy.
Oh, man, I hate to break guy code here, but let me tell you something.
Oh,
marriage
gosh.
Only distracts you.
when you got a bunch of other chicks out there, you know what I'm saying? Playing. And you out there playing, mm-hmm. and you trying to keep up with your other chicks and your marriage, then that's when
and
marriage
work,
becomes a distraction.
Stress,
yeah, because your wife's stressing you about all the other chicks. You ain't got time for that.
Well, it does sound...
I ain't got time for that, man.
Very distracting. Now, he also talks about Bernice Burgos versus Tiny. Because, you know, I know you guys talked about this yesterday, how they were going back and forth.
Just a little bit.
On social media. Check it out.
I'm a man. I am not engaged in a woman's business. That is women's business. It got nothing to do with me.
Yo, T.I. is crazy.
Drop on a cool
it's all about T.I. you.
T.I. is crazy.
He's like, right, got nothing to do with
you. T.I. will keep his hands clean.
This guy.
Regardless.
This guy.
I think marriage actually focuses me.
Absolutely focused.
I've never been this focused
guys,
in my life.
Talk that talk.
Nah, it's the truth.
It does.
Talk that focus. Talk.
Because, like, all our work. And the rest of my time goes towards my family. It goes to my wife. It goes to my daughters. Like, that's why I put my energy into my work and my family. Like,
absolutely.
I'm good on everything else. Everything else is just a distraction. When you out here trying to play and you got other chicks floating around, those are the distractions. Marriage is absolutely not the distraction.
Keeps
that's
your focus
to me.
Yep.
Now, T.I. also talked to music. He said he's the creator of trap music. Check out what he had to say.
I'm going for trap music on this. Because a lot of people, they don't really, you know that I created trap music. There was no such thing as trap music prior to. No such thing. It didn't exist.
And what do you mean you ain't think you got that old?
It was Outkast and Crump. Like, that's what it was. Organized, should I say Organized Noise? Yeah, Organized Noise and
Crump. Were
Crump.
You labeling it that out the gate?
But yeah.
Yeah.
My second album, mm-hmm. 2003,
second
trap
album.
Music.
Right.
That is accurate. The first time I remember hearing that term was T.I. on his second album, Trap Music. Now, I would say that it was records out there that had trap content, like, you know, UGK, Pocket Full of Stones, but they weren't calling it trap music. Trap music is that's the first time I heard that term was when T.I. named his album that.
All right, well, speaking of distractions, Janelle Monáe is encouraging equality. She did an interview with Marie Claire magazine. She said, people have to start respecting the vagina. Until every man is fighting for our rights, we should consider stopping having sex. I love men, but evil men, I will not tolerate that. Then she had to go on social media to clarify what she meant. She said that, I remember choosing a partner for a co-parent is important because those values are passed down for generations. She said, I don't think that, but I do get frustrated when women's rights are trampled on and disregarded, and we must demand our agency, and it's very frustrating. But no, I don't think sex is a bargaining tool. I just wonder how these people get born and raised.
Mm. That sounds like she watched Chirac.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what it sounded like to me.
And Chirac is based on other things, too, where they women withheld sex to stop people from wars and everything.
Chirac movie is trash, too, by the way.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report. You think that abstaining from sex would stop you guys from certain things if your women abstain from sex?
What do you mean?
You might want to come to the table and just...
I know how to act. I don't need no punishment. I don't got to punish me. I'm good. What I need a punishment for?
Right,
go punish the people who don't know how to act. I know how to act.
All right. Well, thank you for those rumors. Yee, welcome back.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, April 12th goes to our celebrity in chief spokesman, Sean Spicer. Now, kids, y'all know your Uncle Charla's book is coming out this coming Tuesday, April 18th. The book is called Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. It's 8 principles that I learned in my life that I want to share with people. And one of those principles is always give people the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. That principle is simply saying the know-it-all knows nothing. And if you don't act like you know, the know-it-all knows nothing, and don't act like you know something, you know, just always stay open to new information, always stay receptive to learning. That's how you grow, that's how you constantly evolve, and that's how you avoid putting your foot in your mouth like Sean Spicer. See, I can't call you a donkey for what you don't know, but I can call you a donkey for pretending to have knowledge of a subject when it's clear you don't, okay? One thing about people in this Trump administration is that they speak on things they have no knowledge about with supreme confidence. And that's exactly what Sean Spicer did yesterday when he said that the devil known as Adolf Hitler, who massacred more than 6 million Jewish people in gas chambers, never used chemical weapons. Oh, you don't believe he really said that? Here you go.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
Sean Spicer, Google is your friend, my guy. Okay, gas chambers. Keyword, gas. Gas is a chemical. Not just any chemical. Gas is made up of about 150 different chemicals. 150 different chemicals I can't even pronounce, nor will I attempt to. The point is, the reason I know this, Sean Spicer, is because I Googled, is gasoline a chemical? See, I had to double check because when I heard Sean Spicer say that yesterday, I always give people the benefit of the doubt because it may not be you, it might be me. What's my principle? Give people the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. Maybe information has changed. Maybe gas is no longer considered a chemical. I don't know. That's why I Googled, is gasoline a chemical, just to make sure I wasn't the idiot here, and it just reconfirmed to me that, nope, it's not me, Sean Spicer. It's your dumbass. Gas is indeed a chemical, and Satan, a.k.a. Hitler, killed more than 6 million people in gas chambers. Now, moments later, a reporter asked Sean to clarify his remarks. Oh, man, this is good. Play the clip.
Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, there was no, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that a shot is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the, he brought him into to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. But I'm saying in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns, it was brought to it. So the use of it, I appreciate the clarification there. That was not the intent.
You know, you're all f***ed up, right?
What? There's so much to unpack here. Yeah. Holocaust Center. What the hell is a Holocaust Center?
I don't know.
You mean concentration camps? Holocaust Center sounds light. You make it seem like a Holocaust Center is some place to send your kids for the summer. And then Sean Spicer said, I appreciate the clarification to the reporter. What clarification? There was no clarification. She asked you to clarify. Why are you thanking her for clarification? What you meant to say to her was, thank you for pointing out that I was wrong. And after somebody points out that you are wrong, just admit you're wrong and deal with the consequences of you being wrong. This is why I have come to the conclusion that Ivanka Trump is the smartest person in the White House, simply because she is the only person from the Trump administration I have ever heard admit they don't know something. Remember last week when they said she was complicit? Look how she answered this.
I don't know what it means to be complicit, but, you know, I hope time will prove that I have done a good job.
Just play the first part one more time. Let's play that one more time. Because that first part sums up why she is the smartest person in that administration. Play.
I don't know what it means to be complicit.
That's great. That's
but,
it.
You know, I hope time.
That's great. Just admit you don't know. It's okay, okay? Sean Spicer, it had to be a part of your brain that said, you know, this don't sound right. Adolf Hitler killed more than 6 million people in gas chambers. Nazis murdered 2.7 million Jewish people in death camps. Gassing, as in the chemical gas, Sean, gassing 6,000 a day in Auschwitz alone. But Sean Spicer just forgot about that. I've been trying to process what Sean said simply to see if it makes sense from any angle. It doesn't. Because when you say someone who is as despicable as Hitler didn't even sink to using chemical weapons, what does that mean? That doesn't make Hitler any less despicable. It doesn't matter if he drowned them, burned them, gassed them. The fact remains, he killed millions and millions of Jewish people. That is, and always will be the issue. Period. Okay? In the words of Charlemagne the God, give people the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. And Sean Spicer, let me give you your hee-haws while you're still alive to hear them. Please give Sean Spicer the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right. Yes. So to break it down, what Sean Spicer was trying to say was, well, Hitler wasn't as bad as this guy is. Is
that's
that
what he was trying to say.
I mean, come on. Why would you even compare terrible acts with other terrible acts?
Once again, it doesn't matter how they were killed. It's the fact that they were killed.
Absolutely.
You kill millions and millions of people.
All right.
That is the issue.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Yee right now, 800-585-1051. Maybe you're going on vacation and you need to take a picture and show your butt cheeks. Yee can help you.
You know, I told you that my friend, a good friend of mine that was with me on this trip, we were on the ATVs and the ATV flipped over her arm. Mm-hmm. And we had to spend the day in the hospital after that.
Mm-hmm. Did you have that one piece on in the hospital, though, is what the inquiring minds want?
Crazily enough, you know what was really bad? We went to the hospital. We were covered in mud because we were on the ATVs. Mm-hmm. We did have on our bathing suits, but we had on cover-ups over it, but it just still felt inappropriate.
Right. So how did y'all flip over?
I didn't flip over.
Oh, she was by herself.
No, she was with our other friend, and the two of them were in the ATV together, and one of them was driving, and the ATV flipped over on her arm because it was very rocky.
Damn it, man. All right.
It was really bad. I was scared to death. They had to lift it up off her arm.
Holy
ish. And if you could see her arm, that was bleeding through the cast and everything. All the skin was like burned off.
All right. 800-585-1051. Ask Ye. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. What's your question for Yee?
A question about me and my husband, we've been dating since we were 15.
Uh-huh.
Off and on. And, like, now that we're older, we have three boys together. And it seems like it's not saying no more. Like, he lies to me a lot, and I feel like he's comfortable with lying to me.
Lying to you about what?
A lot of things. Like, last time I saw him at the strip club. And I don't mind him going, because I'm just that type of woman, just to let him go. But lying to me and really makes me mad when he has something good at home. Why would he need to go to the strip club?
Okay, but you just said you don't mind him going.
I really don't, but, I mean,
life is just... See, because it's two different things here. Now, I would be annoyed if somebody lied to me about anything because I don't feel like there's a reason for me to lie. But you just said you don't mind him going, but then you said, well, I don't see why he has to go because he's got a good thing at home. So it does seem like you do mind him going.
Yeah, you're right. A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, it just bugs me because I want to have... I'm the type of woman that likes to do payroll, and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to do that sexual thing with him.
You want to do role plays and do all that stuff. So why can't he do that stuff with you? Why does he need to go to the strip club and look at these women when he got all of this at home?
Basically, that's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. Now, how did you see him in the strip club?
Well, I got his bank account information.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and so I had logged into it because I knew something was fishy, and so I saw that he pulled out money at the strip club.
It seems like the bigger issue, more than anything else, is that you don't trust him.
To be honest, I really don't, and it's because of you lying to me and everything. And I love him, but it's just like our relationship is not going nowhere with each other no more.
Right. Okay, so he lies to you, and of course he lies to you, and that's of course why you don't trust him. But then he's lying to you about things that he knows that you don't want him to do that he wants to do.
Exactly. He always makes excuses. He always throws it back at me saying, I'm the one that's always lying. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I just started going back to school, and it seems like he did not like that I was going back to school. He thinks I'm cheating on him. I'm like, I don't have time to cheat. I don't work. I'm a housewife. I have three kids. When do I have time to cheat on you?
Well, the reason that he's accusing you of cheating is probably because he's a liar himself and he knows he does things that he's not supposed to do. So therefore, it's making him feel like he's accusing you of doing things because that's what always happens. When you know you're not doing anything wrong and you start getting accused, you got to look at what is this person doing that they feel so guilty about.
Yeah.
You guys are just comfortable with each other but not attracted to each other anymore.
That's how I feel.
Okay. All right, listen, hold on the line for a second, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Reese from Indianapolis.
What's your question for Yee?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck in a dilemma. All right, well,
okay.
I got a girl. She perfect, you know what I'm saying? Don't give me no problems. Money straight. I'm saying, got her own everything, no kid. But I'm young, you know what I'm saying? She wanna be committed. She got me about 4 years. But I'm young. I wanna get out and live. But she keeps saying she wanna commit for the rest of our life. She wanna get married and all that. But I'm trying to tell her I'm young. I'm not ready. I have no reason to leave her. You know what I'm saying?
So okay, like, so you're saying on paper everything about her is good, but in real life you don't want to be in a relationship right now.
Exactly.
Well, you're not doing her any favors by being in a relationship that you don't want to be in.
Right, but I also don't want to hurt her and leave her for no reason.
I think it's more hurtful for you to stay with somebody that you don't really want to be in a relationship with.
Mm.
You know, I think obviously she's ready for something that you're not ready for, and you just have to be honest. Like, be honest and let her know, I'm not ready if you're not ready. Because for you to be in this relationship, first of all, you're going to be upset about it later. You're going to be have a little bit of resentment toward her. You might end up cheating.
Right, right.
And I think it's better for her and for you to just not be in a relationship. I mean, you just said you don't want to be in one.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to leave no perfect situation either. So it's like, do I want to...
It's not perfect if you don't want to be in it.
That's just the only downfall. I don't want to be in it because I'm young.
Well, that's a huge downfall. You don't want to be in a relationship. Does it matter if she's perfect or not? You don't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And, you know, you never know what might happen when you're honest with somebody. Maybe she will still date you while you're doing whatever else you want to do. At least you're being honest about it. And maybe she won't. And maybe her not being with you will make you realize that, okay, I'm going to run around. I don't even like this. I want to get back together with my girl. And maybe it'll be too late or maybe it won't. You never know. But you got to go with how you feel.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's why I have to call in. I know you'll get some good info.
All right. Yeah, I mean, right, listen, don't do anything until you're ready for it, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
All right.
All right, bro. ASCII, 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, let's get back into some stories about Steph Curry. Now, you know he has the number one selling jersey in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet again. Well, let's talk about why other NBA ballers don't like him. We'll give you some inside information.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, Lil Wayne was performing at Slippery Rock University in Pennsylvania, and he didn't give too many details, but he is saying that he has a new situation. Check it out.
Is it cool if I just say, it's The Rock?
You know, I'm a member of that team now.
I don't know what that means specifically.
We've been hearing that for a long time.
He's been saying that for a long time, so we don't 100% know, but I don't know. Maybe he's managed to get himself into a situation.
All
right.
So.
Now, we were telling you about this book that Marcus Thompson wrote. Now, Marcus Thompson has been reporting on Steph Curry, and he did a whole book about Steph Curry being the golden boy and why other NBA players don't like him. All right. Now, the book is called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. And here's what he had to say about Chris Paul having some issues with Steph Curry.
Chris Paul's one of those guys. Chris Paul was somebody he looked up to. Chris Paul used to dominate that matchup. Chris Paul was supposed to be next in line to win a championship. And then suddenly it was Steph. So that's another relationship where he was like, oh, I look up to you. And now suddenly all of them, there's this disdain towards Steph.
Sounds like they're hating on the khaki-colored killer.
That's what it sounds like.
And if you don't know who Marcus Thompson is, he's been reporting on the Golden State Warriors for 12 seasons, and he's exploring Steph Curry. This is his first book. And Steph Curry's family and his daughters, his celebrity chef wife, Aisha, how he's a role model for kids. And by the way, Steph Curry has a number one selling jersey in the NBA also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like a lot of jealousy and envy towards the beige boy. I don't want to call him the golden boy. Well, you can call him golden, too.
Watch your mouth.
He's golden.
He's the color of gold, yeah.
The number two on that list is LeBron for the most popular NBA jerseys. And number three is Kevin Durant. Number four is Russell Westbrook, who, by the way, according to this book, also does not like Steph Curry. Just doesn't like him.
I think it's probably a lot of jealousy and envy. Plus, Steph keeps his nose clean, and he's, like, you know, really into God. He's got the family and the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I can see where the jealousy and envy would come into play.
All right, now, Stephen Belafonte, we've been telling you all about the situation with Stephen Belafonte and Mel B, how she's filed for divorce, how allegedly there's all these sex tapes that are floating around that she's scared are going to be released. She managed to get a restraining order, and now he gets reasonable visitation for his kids also, of his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But he also wants to stay in Eddie Murphy's daughter's life.
What?
Yeah, he's been raising her since she was only 2 years old. That's when they got married. So he wants to be able to have visitation and still see
that
daughter as well.
What if the daughter don't want to see him?
10 years of marriage.
How do you know the daughter?
And I mean, these allegations against him, domestic abuse, sexual exploitation, all of that, I don't know.
Yeah, the daughter might have just been putting up with you because you was stepdaddy at the time. Now that you're gone, she might be out of sight, out of mind.
Right. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how the court will look at that. All right, Don Cheadle is going to be starring in a movie about Wall Street's first black millionaire, Jeremiah G. Hamilton. And that's going to be, he's producing that movie as well. So it's going to be an adaptation from Shane White's book, Prince of Darkness. He actually defied convention during this time period. He made a $2 million fortune by the time he died in 1875. So imagine how much $2 million was in 1875. That should be a good movie to go check out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart. And I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.